Okay, I'll just have to use my big boy voice tonight. As Mark was saying, my name is Luke Adkins. My family has been fellowshipping here at Calvary Community for about 2 years now. And I say my family because I'm an active duty Marine, and 2 years ago I was sent to Okinawa for a year. And so my family was here with you guys, and I thanked you in the past. If you weren't there, I'm grateful to this body of the Lord opening their arms and embracing my family while I was abroad, and just knowing that my family was being taken care of. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Family, though, I wanted to play on family a little bit. Matt talked about family and what it is up here. I want to open up to the group and just get us to talk about family camp and what family camp means to you. Hopefully we'll get some dialogue this evening. This will be the first of a couple different iterations. So family camp, from any generation, any person here tonight, what is family camp? What we're doing here tonight, what is this to you?
Making memories.
Making memories. Awesome.
Fellowship.
Good conversation.
Getting to meet new people.
Getting to know more about people you maybe know a little bit too.
Time to relate.
Yes. We sit next to each other maybe on Sunday morning, but we don't get to know each other that well. And so the fellowship, it really enriches our relationship with each other. And the games are fun. The games are a blast, whether it's up here in the feeding. It was kind of a toss-up to me, to be honest. It was really close.
I'll take the judge.
It is a wonderful time, and it's fun. But the fellowship, and hopefully I'll come back to this here again at the end, the fellowship, I think, is what God's got us here for as the body of Christ. Mountain Meadows. So this place is wonderful. I think we all appreciate the church we've come up here since 2012. Is that right? Or maybe before?
No, actually, since our church started, 1998.
So a long time. Decades. Up here. I will tell you, for my immediate family, this place has a very special place in our hearts. All six of us, I did not grow up in this area. I grew up over in Quincy, but all six of the family members in my family have been campers here. My wife, Jamie, sitting over here, was a counselor here for years. And then this is also the place where Jamie and I met in 2006, 19 years ago. Right through those doors, she fed me a pancake. And the rest is history. And I'll come back to that again at the end. I will tell you, we're talking about this at dinner. There are two sides of that story, and I'll tell you there are details that I don't know. If you ask Jamie, there are some juicy details. All above reproach, but yeah, juicy details. Okay, let's enough intro. Let's open in prayer. Lord, bless our time together this evening. We know that you're here with us. We welcome you in this place. Jesus, we love you. And Lord, we put you first. We pray that you be glorified, continue to be glorified through the teaching of your word this evening. Be with me and be with Sean as we teach your word. If there's anything that we misstep at all, Lord, I pray that you would close the ears or use it for your glory. In your name, amen. So Psalm 125 is where we're going to be this evening. And while you're turning there, you can read from the excerpt here. So when Mark approached me, approached a number of us, I said, hey, read the chapters and see which one you want to talk about. So I read through them. And 125 jumped out to me. You'll see a theme here. Mountains is one of the themes that's covered. Josh talked about mountains. Yeah, Josh. Josh talked about mountains last night. And I get to talk about mountains again. Mountains hold a very special place in my heart. I grew up in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, about 3 hours from here. Here we are tonight in the Cascade Mountains. And then I have the privilege, I talked a little bit before about being an active duty Marine. I have the privilege of working at the best Marine Corps base in the world. If you've ever been there, it's a tiny little base down south, 395, near a little town called Bridgeport, California. It's about 320 Marines and civilians that get to work there, and we get to teach mountain warfare to the Marine Corps and to the Joint Forces. So it's a special place. I can talk more about that later. But mountains hold something very dear in my heart. The psalmist has got a clear picture for us, too, as we read Psalm 125 tonight. But again, I'll open up to the floor here. What draws people? Mountains aren't for everybody. Well, I obviously have a bias. Mountains are not for everybody. But for those that are drawn to the mountains, what draws us to the mountains?
Tranquility.
Majestic.
Peaceful.
Cooler? Yes, yes.
Peaceful.
Peaceful, yes.
Space.
The view. The view. We'll get to the view here in a little bit.
The smells,
yes. Yes, the smells are refreshing right now with the rain.
Good fishing.
Dirt bike riding.
Isolation.
Good.
No Wi-Fi.
Love it. Enough said. I can walk away. Thank you. Okay, so let's see here. Psalm 125. Let's see what picture the psalmist has got for us. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. So Jerusalem, Mark talked about Jerusalem being on a hill, about 4,000 foot elevation. Not only is Jerusalem on a hill, but it's surrounded by hills. And so we've got a really clear picture here. God is not only the unshakable foundation that he's established for Israel as he's bringing it back up to Jerusalem on a recurring basis, but he also surrounds them as a fortress and provides a defensive posture for his people. And it's from this time forth and forever. To go back to the beginning of this, beginning of verse 1, the phrase, those who trust in the Lord, shows one of the facets of our relationship that's named in the Old Testament, along with those who fear, which Sean talked about this morning. Those who fear the Lord, those who love the Lord, those who know him, all attest to a personal bond, too intimate to be a passing connection. It's an enduring relationship that we have with the Lord. And its own logic makes it forever. I will say this, though, and the passage says this, it's not without trials and challenging times. Verse 3 starts to talk about, while our trust and faith are placed in the Lord, they're not really placed there in the good times. This happens to us today and to Israel back then in a wicked world, an evil and wicked world. This psalm specifically was likely written during the time of Hezekiah. So Hezekiah's returned back to Jerusalem, and he's leading the rebuilding of the walls around Jerusalem. And so the scepter of wickedness that's addressed in verse 3, it could be Persia. A number of the commentaries attested it to Persia, which was a dominant world power that was ruling and dominating Israel in those days. It could also have been Samaria, Philistia, Arabia, all of which are small neighboring kingdoms which were challenging Nehemiah as he's looking to rebuild the walls. And so you've got this challenge where you've got God as your fortress, an enduring foundation for you, but you've also got the realistic trials that exist in the world. But there's a promise in here. And it's really maybe even a prediction from the psalmist that the wicked will not rule the people of God forever, but there will be deliverance that comes from God eventually. There's not a time stamp on that. It's going to happen eventually. The wicked are not going to rule forever. We don't know how long it is, but we know that he will return. Now, knowing the outcome makes it easier to endure on the current path that we're on. There are some challenges that we may face. I was thinking about different challenges. Navigation was the one that came to mind to me. Nautical navigation is probably something that I think it probably would resonate less with the crowd here. But just navigation in the mountains. You can have some challenging features in front of you, and you can see some meadows to either side. They may look inviting to go to the meadow, but you don't know the challenges that are there. If you knew that you're objective was right on the other side of the challenge, the obstacle right in front of you, it would be easier just to push through. And that's where we're at. We know that God will deliver us, despite whatever challenges we're facing. And the same thing existed for Israel. They knew that God was going to deliver them. And so they can persevere through those challenges. Now moving on to verse 4. In contrast, the psalmist now asked, and now asks for God's blessing on the righteous. He just states the fact that God's going to deliver them from the challenges of those who oppress them. And now he asks for blessing on the righteous. So you see a little bit of the difference there. It's a fact that God's going to deliver them. But what are we owed by God? And that is a rhetorical question. I'm going to answer that question. We're owed nothing but God. None of us is righteous of our own acts. There's nothing that we can do to deserve something from God. However, that doesn't mean that God has a short list of stuff for us. It's not a short list. It's an enduring list, a long list of blessings he has for us if we have placed our trust in him. I wanted to read Romans 8:28. And then we're going to read a couple more verses there in Romans 8. Again, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we know that God causes, not God allows or God reacts to all things. God causes all things to work together for us. That doesn't mean it's going to be enjoyable either, for the record. There will be challenges. And as we talked about, the people, the nations that were oppressing Israel, there were challenges. But God was causing that to work together for their good. Now, as we move on in verse 5, it looks like you've got people who, it reads, there are people who are amongst the Israelites who will do evil things. Specifically, they will turn aside to their crooked ways. It's worth noting here, and we're going to go back to Romans here in a second, but just because you're among God's people doesn't mean you're among God's people. Just because we're all here this weekend doesn't mean we're all saved. If you haven't committed your life to God, if you haven't trusted him, if you haven't placed your trust in him, then you're not one of God's people. And you can be here for the fun, the games, and the relationships that exist that we talked about here at the beginning. But you're not here for the fellowship because you're not part of God's family. And that's a sad thing to think about. So I encourage you, if you're one of those people, if you're here tonight and you haven't trusted God, please come and talk to me, talk to one of the men who have spoken this weekend, talk to Mark, and we can walk you through that. We'd love you to be a part of that fellowship and to raise that fellowship. And to not just be here for the party. As Matt said, we all get to go to church, right? We get to be here for the fellowship. I want to close out here. Let's get back to Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. back to if you have committed your life to Christ, if you have trusted Him, then it's enduring. And you're on an unshakable foundation. You will not backslide. There will be challenges, but you're not going to be pulled out of the hand of God. Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. There's a 100% translation there from the beginning. Everyone who is called is also passed all the way through to glorification. And it remains in the hand of the Lord. I want to go back and revisit some of the stuff we talked about here, some of the stories. And the theme here is that God ordains the actions that happen in our lives. God causes all things, right? He doesn't react. God causes the things to happen in our lives. So Jamie and I meeting. Some of the details that I left out here. Again, we met right over there and it was wonderful. But I was in college at the time. I was in the military. I had 3 weeks of leave for the whole summer. As much as I love church camp, I will tell you, as a junior in college, I don't know if I had the maturity to want to spend one of my 2 or 3 weekends here, to be honest. But God placed me here. Jamie had been a counselor here and had worked here for years, but was no longer on staff. In 2006, she was no longer on staff. It was early season. It was June. I want to say June 2 or 3. Probably 1, 2, or 3 was the weekend of 2006. And they called her and said, "Hey, we're short staff. Would you mind filling in for this weekend?" And her first question was, "Well, maybe, but who's going to be there that weekend?" And so it's Motor Valley Community Church. And she said, "Oh, yeah, I know them. No problem. I'll work that weekend." My little sister, who's 7 years younger than me, had been a camper at Jamie's. Jamie had been her counselor a number of times. And she had, Molly is her name. And Molly had told Jamie, "Hey, you got to meet my brother." And Jamie's like, "Okay, cute." You know, just like embracing maybe a younger sister. But it's not going to come to fruition. Are you kidding me? Like, no. Okay. And he's like, "Sure, whatever. Yes, sweet little girl, thank you." Molly was the one that introduced Jamie and I, again, right over there, about 50 feet from where we're sitting right now. You can ask Jamie the details, but neither of us were supposed to be there, humanly. Neither of us were supposed to be here, but God brought us. Let's talk a little bit about Okinawa. Originally, my whole family, all 6 of us, were going to go to Okinawa. And then in May 22nd of 23. 23? Yeah, 25 right now. May 22nd of 23, we found out that the 2 of the 5 of us, so not me, I was cleared, but 2 of the remaining 5 were not cleared medically to go to Okinawa. But, Luke, we still need you to execute the orders on June 16th. You're going to now go by yourself, and the family's going to go somewhere else. And honestly, the Marine Corps doesn't dictate where the family's going. They're just saying, you're still going to go, but the family's not going with you. And so from May 22nd, we found that out. May 23rd, they amended my orders. Originally, it was going to be 3 years, but the family's going together. May 23rd, it's now 1 year, Luke, you're going by yourself. So now we've got 3 weeks or so to figure out where the family's going to be. And Jeff and Sherry Hatcher, my in-laws, Jesse's parents, Jamie's parents, opened their doors here in Cottonwood on Black Lane to Jamie and the 4 kids. And they lived with them for a year under their roof. And that's part of what puts us, me, here with you guys today. It was this thing that just looks like this monster curveball that God threw at us. It's going to be insurmountable. And I'll tell you, there were a lot of senior Marines who were telling me to fight. "Hey, you can fight this. You can get out of it. You need to be with your family." And I said, "You know what? This is already going to be challenging enough for me to embrace. It's going to be way harder for someone else to roll with this. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I will tell you, administratively, there were a lot of benefits to me going for 1 year that reset my overseas control date, which means I probably will not be on the chopping block to go back to Okinawa anytime soon. So there is some administrative stuff in that. But that wasn't the Marine Corps doing that. It wasn't me doing that. It was God working through that whole thing. And it wasn't without its challenges. But I'll tell you, I grew quite a bit. And I won't speak for the family. But there were trials, and I will tell you, they are stronger for it. Again, it wasn't always fun, but they are stronger for it. Last night, Josh spoke about not last an interview, right, as we're driving out. And the amazing view that that is. This morning, I went for a little walk. We're up here on the hill, and I got up in the morning, and I saw the crest, and it was daylight through the trees. We know that was because of the fire that burned up. Incidentally, there's a picture of it. Right over here. Literally, the fire burned up to the ridge and stopped burning. Again, God ordained for sure. But the sunlight through the trees was inviting to me, and I walked up there. And because the trees are now all gone, you can see Mount Lassen from just right there. And I love mountains. Mountains are very special in my heart. But looking at them, it was reminding me of the history of what Mount Lassen is. Now, Josh and Aaron are geologists. Okay, there's a little bit of a risk here going down in the science lane. And I'm not trying to do that at all. I would probably be on thin ice very quickly. But theologically, that mountain, it was not what it is today, right? Safe assumption, the Cascade Range, right? We talked about the different mountain ranges. The Cascade Range is where we're at right now. Volcanic Range. So a number of these mountains, Mount St. Helens is also part of the Cascade Range or volcanoes, and have blown up. Safe assumption, Mount Lassen looked more like this, and now looks much smaller. Still impressive mountain, still at 10,000 feet. What it was before, there's probably some people, indigenous people who lived in this area, looked at that mountain and worshipped it because of the feature that it was. It was that awe-inspiring. The God that we serve, the God that we place our trust in, not only is our foundation and our fortress, but he also has the authority and the power to tell that mountain to not be what it was historically and what it is today. Two very different pictures. And that's the God that we put our trust in. He has that kind of power. To tell a mountain, mountains that we would say are unshakable, mountains are enduring forever. They may go up and down as the plates shift a little bit, but that mountain, and there's some irony here. Most mountains in the world are not volcanoes. They're formed and shaped and that kind of thing. But this range right here that we're in is a volcanic mountain range. And so just kind of the beauty and irony that our God that we serve, and that mountain that's not very far from here, God changed that mountain. Most mountains will not change. But God changed that mountain specifically. And where does that leave us here in the end? What's the end result, right? The God that we put our trust in, he will preserve us. He will preserve us till the end. And the end result is peace. God is his foundation. I don't have to worry about what's going on. Why am I in Okinawa for a year and my family's not here? And I'm not able to fulfill my responsibilities as a husband and a dad to my family. I don't have to worry about that. He provided the family of God, right, to do this. And a strong woman, for sure, to be able to stand in the gap. The psalmist said it best here, the very last line, right? Peace be upon Israel. And peace to us, the peace that we can have, knowing that this is the God that we serve that has that kind of power to remove mountains and the places where we need to be. And despite the challenges, he is there and will uphold us in the end. That's all I got.